Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media and Carl and Linda Bont. 7:05, March the 18th, halfway through March, over halfway through March, and we are marching through. Okay, all right, just trying to get you started this morning. Here, phone lines here at 530-605-4567, and we are streaming at KCNR1460.com, and you can also join the chat room and say hello to your fellow KCNR chat pack. And the first one that's on will get a special prize. Here he is, Indie Guy. Here's your special prize. Good morning to Indie Guy. And you know what? We're joined by our producer who's getting ready to answer the phone. So I'm going to go first to the beauty of Beauty and the Beast, Linda.
I never know what to do with your introductions, really. I don't.
Just give me a big kiss on the forehead and keep rolling. We've got 2 hours.
Well, we have a lot of stuff to cover. As you know, it's Friday. It feels like somewhat the world is in turmoil in the sense that what's happened with the Japanese earthquake and the fallout and the radiation clouds and things that, you know. But let's start the day with the reality of what's happening here in the North State, and especially with the weather. What are we looking at today? Well, you're looking at a chance of rain, and it is not even a chance. It's 100% chance of showers. Thunderstorms are also possible after 11 a.m. with a high near 48, and there is lots of breeze going on with a south wind between 21 and 24 miles per hour with gusts up to 33 miles per hour. Bob, I'm going to throw it to you because I know you were telling me about chain and snow warnings.
There are indications that they are doing a chain check for trucks north of Redding, and this could be a pretty wet and wild weekend. Flood advisory in effect for the northern Sacramento Valley, along with this wind advisory. The ground is saturated to the point where trees and other things could start coming down. So just be mindful and be prudent when you head out and about. So if your morning commute involves a lightweight vehicle or a high-profile vehicle, just be aware of that.
All right. We also are taking your calls this morning, as well as go on the chat room, which is KCNR1460.com. Click on the on air. Get in there with a nickname or whatever you want to put in there, and we can chat that way if you don't want to make calls. We always enjoy our Friday segment with Amy calling in, and so this is a convenient time for her to call first thing in the morning, and we're so happy to hear from you. Good morning, Amy. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, guys, and happy Friday to you.
And do we have a tip of the week? What's going on?
You know it. Hey, today I want to talk about retraining your brain to feel full. You know, for years people get criticized for not having enough willpower or being weak or even being gluttonous when it comes to overeating. But oftentimes there's pleasure receptors in our brain that kind of get weakened or shut off and don't really signal that we are getting full. And this happens when you start getting into chronic overeating. It basically kind of burns out some of those pleasure receptors, and then you end up eating more and more and more to try to get that same pleasure, but it just doesn't come. So what we can do to retrain our brain is to eat smaller portions and to eat more low sugar and lower fat foods, because those fat and sugars release higher pleasure molecules, but it burns out those pleasure receptors quicker. So eating more frequently, eating small meals, and low fat and low sugar. And like the meal plan that you and Carl on, the MediFast meals, those are perfect for retraining your brain because it gets you to eat small meals every 2 to 3 hours, like everybody should be doing, and they're low fat and low sugar, but full of carbohydrates and proteins in the right combination.
All right. Well, okay, so pleasure receptors.
Yeah.
That's a great way to start Friday weekend.
Yeah, I'm just, my pleasure receptors are overloaded.
Well, we're going to retrain your brain.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and of course we work out with Amy, and we know Carl has been selected to be Dancing with the Stars, one of three men, along with their partners, and three women with their partners, and so Carl will be dancing, and Amy is going to really be helping Carl get into that shape that one needs to get into to compete in this competition.
We are already doing specific exercises to get ready to dance, you know, to, so that it keeps, you know, you're strengthening your core and all that, just so you can, I can tippy-toe across the boards there and not look like a complete fool. I expect the chat pack to be there July 9th for this, and also Amy, the trainer. And of course, if it goes wrong, Amy, you can always sneak out the back way. But it won't. It's going to be great. Hey, Amy,
thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And thanks to Adams from Peak Performance.
Hey, we're going to start off the morning before we take this break. We know there's so many things going on in the month of March, but I've got a hand here full of, a handful of tickets for the Red Bluff Roundup. So what I'm going to do is I've got two for April 15th. I have two for April 17th, and I have two, and the rest are for April 17th. So would you call 605-4567 this morning, and we're going to give away two tickets to which date that you want. So put in for it now because they're going to go fast. It's the first time I pulled them out of the bag, and I say, okay, you know, I know it's a month. It's really not even a month off. It's the Red Bluff Roundup.
April 15th, if you like rocking and rolling with the Bulls.
Or April 17th. It's your pleasure.
April 17th.
You'll let Bob know. And we will talk to you a little right after these messages. You're listening to KCNR 1460.
My son's car was painted at Maaco in Redding. He liked the work, but I like
60, it's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. 1460, it's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. 7:15 in the morning, March the 18th. It's raining out there. The wind's blowing. It's 46 degrees. It's not going to get any better. Our guest for this segment, they are the Shasta County Grand Jurors Association. I have Ray Frisbee and Harry Tully. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, now you're here to talk about an open house that's going to be Monday and to get people onto the grand jury. Is that true?
Yeah, one of the big things that our group does is try to encourage people to volunteer for grand jury service. And we have an informational meeting that we call our open house. It's going to be held on Monday, March 21st, 5:30 p.m. at the Reading Library.
Okay. And what do we expect to learn there?
Just the responsibilities of being a grand juror and how you can become a grand juror and what is expected of a grand juror.
Okay, well, let's start there. How long does it take? How long are you working at the grand jury? What's your hours?
The commitment is a one-year commitment. Grand jury operates basically on a fiscal year, starting at the end of June through the next July. And we figure 15 to 20 hours a week, flexible time.
15 to 20 hours a week, huh? Well, okay. Do you get paid for this?
Yeah, you get $15 a day, whether you have one meeting or five.
$15 a day, huh?
Yeah.
Better not live someplace, you know, like outside the outskirts of town, or you're going to be losing money on gas.
Well, no, you get paid mileage.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. Okay, the reason I'm saying that, this is a grand jury. This is something you kind of want to do. This is, you want to get involved in your community, and this is a huge thing to grand jury.
It is. It's a big responsibility, and you do have to want to do it.
Yeah, we feel that not only do you learn a lot by being on the jury, but you can really make some positive change in the community.
What things have come down from the grand jury lately that would be that people would just say, oh, yeah?
Well, a couple of years ago, the grand jury did a report on the red light cameras in Reading. Reading was starting to set up red light cameras. A lot of controversy. You probably talked about it here.
Are you kidding me? I've been nabbed twice on the way to work.
So there's some slow learners out there.
There's no Hollywood roles in this town. I'm sorry.
You know what? There is no forgiveness in this camera. At least a policeman will say, you know, that was pretty close. The camera, no. You know, where is the humanity?
Okay, sorry about that. Go on.
But they did do a report on it. A lot of controversy, and the grand jury looked into it, investigated, and did a report on it. I thought it quieted down a lot of the controversy.
Oh, really? You ought to be on the end of this line here. Wow. Let's Jerry Bonito, when he was the district attorney, the Martinez case. He said that he took it to the grand jury as kind of a bell ringer. or bellwether, I should say, to talk to them. Is he allowed to do that? I mean, I know he's allowed to do that, but does that happen very often, where he presents the evidence and the grand jury takes a look at it?
It only happens maybe once or twice a year.
Mm-hmm. To see if there's enough of the case and all this, or
to get, yeah, just get a feel for how people, the public, is thinking about a certain situation.
And so they can do that then. I think,
oh, yeah.
I think it's a great thing.
I think it's a good idea. And he came back, he said the grand jury was split over that one.
So right.
At least that's, you know, that was
reported. Yeah, actually, the criminal part of the grand jury happens, as Harry said, very little. Actually, when you're on the jury, you'd like it to happen more because it is interesting. Most of the time the grand jury spends is investigating aspects of local government, citizen complaints about things that are happening and other things that the jury just thinks are need to be looked into.
I think there's people that are in our chat room that listen to KCNR on a regular basis, and we call them they're called the chat pack. And while we're on the air, they're chatting amongst themselves. They would be very interested because they're also interested in what's going on with the city and the government.
I can think of some of the people here in the chat pack that would be great on the grand jury.
What kind of time commitment, again, are we looking at? What does it look like? Where does it begin? How do we get to know more about it besides the fact that you're here today to acknowledge and bring forth, hey, it's grand jury time. I guess we got to take a break. When we come back, could you please help enlighten our listeners.
Yes.
Carla Lindabad here on KCNR 1460. Bot here on KCNR 1460. 7:23 in the morning if you're just joining us on this 18th day. Did you have a good St. Patrick's Day? I hope it was safe and warm and wonderful for you. Today we've got a rainy day. And that's all we can say is that there's 100% chance of rain, and it is no chance. tonight, 80% chance of showers, and we're going to be having a high temperature today of 48 with a low of 39 tonight. Tomorrow night, Chris Lauer, I had him on my show last night, and he will be performing at Anselmo's Vineyards tomorrow night. So come on out to see us. And, of course, we are going right to the phones to Senator Doug LaMalfa. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. How are you, Linda?
Hey, Senator.
Great.
Hey, Carl.
Yeah. How's it where you are right now? Is it rainy?
Well, I'm inside, so it's pretty nice.
Okay, Senator, we got just a few minutes before the break. I hope you're calling to say is that the budget's going to be balanced.
Maybe in Washington, I'm hoping. Sacramento is going to take a while here. So
okay.
We've thrashed about it a little bit this week here. Some spending reductions are made so far. A budget bill was put out of the Senate, but it doesn't come anywhere to having what it needs to actually work. So it's going to be held at the Senate desk and not even go to the governor or over to the Assembly for a while.
Okay.
So long ways to go. They didn't try to run the taxes by us yet because they know the votes aren't there. The whole issue is, are the voters even in the mood to hear about more taxation when the legislature has not done what it needs to do to put California in a better place 1 year from now if this whole budget package would go through? So unless there's some kind of reform done, it makes it really hard for Republicans to sign on to that, and I think it makes it really hard for voters to sign on to any of that. And they'll hardly even talk to us about the types of reforms that are going to make the state better long-term.
I saw a poll that said that people would like to have a chance to vote on it. Not that they would support it, but they would like to see, have a opportunity to vote about extending the taxes.
Until you show them the bill, a statewide election will cost $90 to $100 million to do so. This will be the fourth statewide special election since 2003. That doesn't include the extra primary election back in 2008. So in this one poll, they may be saying that because you're asking people, a very foundation question: should the people have the right to vote? Like, well, what are they going to say? No. But you send them the bill for it. You tell them what they're voting on with these taxes here, and that it's going to be five more years. What has this exercise done? And coupled that with that it will be delaying for about three more months the whole debate that we should be having continuing to have right now. You know, let's say it had passed out this week to put those on the ballot. That means we would be basically waiting until June 7th to see what the result of the voters' choice is on that. And the voters most likely are going to turn it down because of what I said. They aren't seeing any reform. Why should they pay more for the state to continue to go into oblivion? So we're going through an exercise that delays, costs more to the state, to the taxpayers, and doesn't really accomplish anything because the hard decisions are going to have to come in June. So if they're looking at all the picture instead of the way that Field or PPIC was asking the poll, I think it'd be a different result.
Mm-hmm. We have about 3 minutes left. I saw what Jim Nielsen was saying and a few other things about dumping people from prisons back on us. And we're already having our problems, as you know, out here with the number of sheriffs and police that we're losing because of budgeting.
That was a bill we took up yesterday as part of a cost saving measure. AB 109, I think, is what it was. And you ought to see the list of people that are going to now be remanded back to the local level instead of serving in state prison and being required to spend time on parole at the completion of their sentence. They would be sent directly back to the local level and not even obligated to be on a probationary period when the same sentence would be over with. So we're putting harder criminals at the local level in county jail, and then there's no requirement for probation once they get out. We're talking people that, say, for example, send very inappropriate materials to minors. You have folks that are out there knowingly selling guns to criminal street gang members. You have folks that are committing battery on officers and other different types of law enforcement and public safety. They're deeming all this to be nonviolent enough crime or non-serious enough crime that we can put this back to the local level and no probation.
No.
So this is supposed to be a cost savings measure on prison and prison population. Why instead aren't we talking about the Prisoner's Bill of Rights, where they get health care that's sometimes better than what our veterans are getting when they have to jump in a van and ride for hours to get veteran health care services? If they get into a scuffle in prison, they get hauled down to the medical center, the hospital in town, because they're afraid of getting sued if they're served by the medical folks inside the prison.
Jeez.
It's nonsense.
Hey, Senator, we've got to leave here in like 30 seconds. Can we set up a time next week so we can bring you on for an hour and talk about this?
Certainly we can. We got still plenty to do, and I think later into the week we'll have a better picture of what we're doing on these additional issues, whether it's the taxes, whether it's like the RDAs and other stuff that's coming up. So,
well, we sure appreciate your calling and giving us a heads up on this, but we'd like, you know, we need an entire hour because it's just one thing after another, and this thing has gotten a lot of people concerned about sending criminals back to us.
Our sheriffs are very concerned as well, even though they're trying purportedly to say the sheriffs support this.
Yes, sir. Right, we got to run, sir. Thanks so much for your phone call, Doug.
See you, bye.
Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Join us after the news. Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio at KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl Lindebot, 7:35 in the morning on March the 18th. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Finest walk-in humidor in the state, maybe west of the Mississippi, and of course, Espresso Joe's on a day like this. You want coffee, you want great coffee, you want it cooked by people that know what they're doing, that's Espresso Joe's. That's Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, and Joe and Shelley, great Americans. They support this town, they support this community. Hey, our guest today.
We're talking to the folks from the grand jury, and what we're trying to get out, the information that we're trying to get out is Monday. What does Monday represent?
Monday is what we call our open house. It's an informational meeting for those who might be interested in volunteering for the grand jury. So it's Monday, March 21st, 5:30 p.m. at the Reading Library. So information about the jury, applications will be available, and people who have been on juries and can talk about the experiences that they've had.
So is there like an incredible background check that you also do? If people are afraid, oh, my gosh, you know, I had a bad credit back in 1968. Does that matter?
They do a background check, but I think it's mainly for criminal matters. I don't know that they have any financial information at all.
Okay. Isn't a grand jury indictment required for a criminal case?
No. Actually, grand jury indictments are used very seldom in Shasta County.
Okay.
The district attorney can file what's called an information, which is formal charges, and that's usually what happens.
Okay. Let's go to the phones. Bruce, good morning. You're on KCNR. You got a question for the grand jury association?
No. I got a question. I would just want to follow up on Doug's call.
Okay.
Okay.
I just want people to go on Channel 90 and see what kind of crazy games they're playing down there in Sacramento and support all these conservative Republicans that are holding up for this budget deal. 2.5 years ago, they made a promise to us. What makes anybody in their right mind with the same group in power think that in 5.5 more years it would be any different?
Well, people not in their right mind.
And if they want to put the ballot on there, it's $98 to $100 million. Let's put it in English only and not 61 different dialects, and it will only cost $50 million. Stick it on there. See if Governor Brown would like to do that. But they need to go on and look at other things that are happening, like AB 30 and the DREAM Act for California of AB 131, I meant, and 130. I mean, these are just insane things that they're spending money on.
And they won't stop.
And they won't stop.
Yeah.
They absolutely will not. Here they're falling off the cliff, and yet they want to give. And I don't know whether you've been watching AB 130 and 131, but it's a California Dream Act that went along with, like, the federal illegal immigration. They don't call them that. They call them undocumented aliens or some crazy thing. But it cost the state a boatload of money if these two things pass. So they probably will pass. They got the numbers.
Oh, yeah. And that's the thing is that it just keeps getting worse and worse. Hey, Bruce, we've got to run. We've got to finish this up. Thanks. Yeah, thanks, Bruce.
Our guests this morning have been Ray Frisbee. Correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And Harry Tolley.
No relation.
And I just love these are wonderful names. I won't forget these names. And you guys are associated with the grand jury. Again, you've been on this morning. People tune in and they get in and out of their car. We've been talking this morning about the grand jury. And actually, it's a really honorable thing to be able to do with one's life, I would think. Your
yes.
time committing to a year of time. I really, in essence, how many hours would you say it would be if you were chosen to be on the grand jury, and what that means?
Well, the estimate, and it's just an estimate, is 15 to 20 hours a week. At different times of the year, it's going to be less or more. But there's a definite time commitment. You have to have the time to put into it, and obviously the interest in making a difference in your community.
Okay.
Absolutely. And so Monday night is your open house. So if you're interested, head on out to the Reading Library at 5:30.
The other place you can get information if you're interested is at ShastaGrandJury.org, ShastaCountyGrandJury.org. A lot of information, applications, and answers to some questions you might have.
Well, we'd like to thank you for your service on the grand
absolutely.
Jury. I mean, sincerely about that. I mean, I'd love to do something like that. If I had more than 2 minutes a day that I could actually sit down.
Well, there may be time.
There may be time at some point. But, no, we do thank you, and we do appreciate it. I know the community does, too.
And we appreciate your support.
Last thoughts?
Supervisor David Kehoe said serving on the grand jury is the highest form of public service one can do.
I think so, too. Much higher than a county supervisor. So is that the point you were making?
Well, I think that was the point that he was making.
Hey, we got to run here.
All
we
right,
can't
guys.
Thank you two enough, and thanks for your service. And Monday, 5:30 at the library.
Right. Hope to see you there.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460. Good and 60, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl Lindabot, good morning. 7:43 in the morning, March 18th. It's 47 degrees out there. It's going to be a rotten day. As far as weather goes, it's going to be a great day because you're here with us. Hey, people that call in, we welcome your phone calls. We do, but we are running right now. We're running behind time. So if we try to do a shift you up a little bit to call again, and then we can catch it right after 8 o'clock because we need to finish up this hour. And our guests are from...
We have a very, very special guest, all of our guests here. But Friday, I'll tell you what, it's been crazy out there. But this morning, right now on the station, we've got Erica Piper, who's elementary school principal of Reading Christian School, and Mike Wenger, who's the junior high and high school principal for Reading Christian School, and you guys are celebrating 20 years. What is going on with Reading Christian School? And welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. Well, we are getting ready to celebrate at our dinner auction next Saturday our 20 years in existence. And about 20 years ago, we had a group of parents and educators get together wanting to start a school that was a non-denominational school that represented many different churches throughout the North State. So through prayer and time together, we were able to open Reading Christian School. And yes, we're celebrating our 20th year together.
All right. So, what's happening now in schools? What are we looking at? I mean, when you guys leave here and you go to school, how many students are at the Reading Christian School? And Mike?
Yeah, we have 500 students, and we have about 135 high school, about 80 junior high, and about 300 elementary students. So they keep us hopping.
Well, you guys look way too hip to be principals. I'm just, you know, it's like. You guys should be, the duet down the street playing really groovy music. I mean, how fun for the kids. And what I'm saying is that, you know, we went to the play to see Tom Sawyer last week. It was spectacular. And I think that we saw there how well organized and how great those kids are. So you have a dinner auction coming up. And what's happening about the dinner auction?
Go ahead, Mike.
Okay. Well, we are having our auction March 26th. And we would like to invite everyone. The doors open at 5 o'clock, and we're going to be at the Big League Dreams. So come out, and we'd love to have you. We have many tables available.
Okay, so you're raising these funds. I know we're trying to follow some notes here, but we might go off the notes a little bit. When you're raising the funds that evening, the proceeds, what are they going? What are the proceeds going for?
Okay. We're specifically raising money this year for technology in our schools to keep technology current, and as you know, that's a constant battle, and also for scholarships so that we can help families who currently are experiencing the budget crisis that's going on and to enroll new families to keep them in our school to promote the Christian education.
So. No, we like that. We like that. So what kind of auction items are you going to have?
Okay, well, I can just tell you a few. An autographed hockey stick from the Hall of Fame inductee Jeremy Roenick. A Disneyland trip for four, a side of beef, and yes, it's organic, a Hollywood sound studio tour.
Wow.
For a studio that has produced Academy Award-winning movies, and they've even produced the Justin Bieber movie,
for all the kids
A Day in the Life of an Orthopedic Surgeon. They can even watch a surgery.
Oh, wow.
And then we have, like, Mount Shasta Resort 2 night. You know, stay golf packages from almost every course in the North State, and it goes on.
Well, okay, principals, let me ask you first, Erica, what is so special about the elementary grades? Let me say it correctly.
Yeah. Basically, it's our teachers. We have an amazing staff, and we are very community-minded. So even in our pre-K through our sixth grade program, our students are involved in community service, whether it's ringing the bell for Salvation Army or visiting elderly care and helping the community in many different ways. We also, like in our sixth grade, for example, learn to run a business within the classroom. So students are given a job, they learn to write checks, they hire, they fire, they monitor what's going on within the classroom, the jobs that are given out. So we're really focused on raising children who are going to be a success in our community and benefit our world. So
that's really special. And Mike, tell us what's so special about the high schoolers.
Well, number one, they
are your high schoolers.
Okay, well, yeah, they have a faith-based statement that they provide. And then also, we have clubs and service organizations like Do Hard Things Club, where we actually go out, help the Humane Society, go out and help widows paint their houses. We just really believe in service. And then also, our sport program. Our boys' basketball team goes down to San Diego every Christmas, and they play in a tournament, but they also go out and serve on the streets and actually give food to the poor. So we really believe we need to help the community.
Well, that's, you know what, I'm sold. You know, I don't have children, but if I did, this is the kind of environment that I would want my children to be in on a daily basis. And I also want to thank Kelly for who made this happen and for cheering us on to cheer you on. Mm-hmm. And we really believe in that what you put in comes back to you fold. It's a basic statement in just integrity in life.
Mm-hmm.
And we appreciate you. We appreciate mm-hmm. your service to our children, our future. And let's all, if on the 26th, how do we get tickets?
You know, you can purchase tickets online at www.readingchristian.com, or you can also just call our school office to purchase it over the phone at 547-5600. And we would just love all the community, all the support in the North State. We've had over 60 businesses from our school family and over $40,000 and more in donations from the community. So this is a community event. We would love everybody to come out and purchase tickets. They're $25. You'll get more than a meal. You'll get lots of fun fellowship and mingling with great people in the community.
I think it sounds great.
Yeah.
I think that it's a worthy cause and a worthy effort that you are doing. So one more time, where do they get the tickets from?
Either online at www.readingchristian.com or call our school office at 547-5600.
Well, it's a it's like so we've been out there before
the
for Tom
complex
Sawyer.
The Field of Dreams. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's
a lot of fun.
What you all do is what we support here for all of our organizations that come in to want to do more for the community.
Yeah. Now, do we miss anything? Is there something else? Do you have a final thought here that you'd like to add in?
Just come and bid big.
Yes. Lots of fun items. And, again, we are just raising up kids for the next generation, amazing kids to serve our community. And it is at the Big League Dreams Field House. So that's where the auction will be held next Saturday, 5 o'clock. And we thank you so much for this time and look forward to meeting lots of people in the community.
Well, thank you, Erica Piper and Mike Wenger and, of course, Kelly.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
This is Carl Lindabot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Join us after these messages. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. And Carl Lindabot, good morning. It is 7:54 in the morning, March 18th. It's rainy. It's 46.
And we have all kinds of guests that are
rolling
in here this morning, and we are so glad. You know what? With everything that's going on, it's really important to keep focused and keep passionately alive about what you're doing.
And this
portion of the show is brought to you by
Lumberjacks, 501 East Cypress. They're having breakfast specials, and it's a great day to get a breakfast out there. It is cold and rainy, and they have specials, $3.99 ham and eggs, and I tell you what, they fill your plate up. $4.99 for chicken fried steak and eggs, and $5.99 New York steak and eggs. You can't get a better price than this. Not only that, it's a local business. Our neighbors own this. The food is great. The service is great. What more can you ask for? That's Lumberjacks at 501 East Cypress.
Our guests in the station right now are Jim Sains, who is the Veterans Employment Specialist, and we have Anna Champ, who is with Shasta County Health and Human Services, and we're talking about the Employment Development Department Spring Job Fair. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thanks, Linda.
Okay, so what are we trying to get across to our listeners today? Let's just give it to them.
Let's just give it to them?
Yeah,
okay.
Come on, tell us what's
going
on.
There's a Spring Job Fair, of course, scheduled for March 22nd, which is next Tuesday. It'll be held at the Veterans Memorial Building, which is on Yuba Street next to the old post office. This is an annual job fair that Employment Development does in concert with other agencies in the county. We've been doing it since about the early 1980s, actually, and it's been moved around a little bit depending on the time of the year and the needs. So we've decided on this one. Originally it was going to be a veterans job fair, but we didn't want the public to think it was only for veterans, so we moved the name to Spring Job Fair.
We want anything special with those veterans.
Well, since I'm a veteran and I work with them, it was kind of a prone thing with us, but I realized there might be a few non-veterans that might be looking for work. So that's what we did.
I think this is great what you all are doing, personally. And and these are going to be people that, they're looking right now to hire people.
Absolutely.
Is that correct?
Yes.
And
absolutely.
This isn't something that, this isn't pie in the sky. These are people that they want to hire. So.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got suggestions on how people should show up down there then.
Absolutely. People should come prepared to interview with the employers that'll be there. They should be dressed as if they've shown up for a scheduled interview. They should bring their resume. They'll have an opportunity to meet directly with employers and do the interview on the spot.
Okay, when we say...
I like that.
Yeah, what kind of... Well, yeah, this is obviously needed here. What kind of employers are we talking about? I mean, just generally.
Across the board. Actually, at this time of the year, of course, traditionally with seasonal adjusted hiring, we get a lot of the tourism, recreation, and timber industries. But when these jobs become available on the season, other companies, of course, businesses increase, and they also are looking. So it's hard to just sandwich a particular segment in. So we have the recreation industry represented. We also have the financial industry represented, the educational industry. Those are the kind of things that we're looking for. In addition to those people that are coming that may be a little bit outdated on their job skill searches, et cetera, we have workshops that we will provide to kind of get them a quick jump start.
So we're talking about the Spring Job Fair, which is March 22nd at the Veterans Memorial Building. That's on Yuba Street, downtown, 1605. 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Dress for success. You can be interviewed on the spot. And if you're out there looking for work, you may come away on next Tuesday. Show up like you want it. Show up like you.
Absolutely.
Are you hungry for work? Do you really want it? This is your opportunity to be able to, we call it press some flesh. But, you know, where you get to meet somebody, shake their hand, look them in the eye. Emails are cold, you guys. People need to see what you're all about, and this is your opportunity.
Suggestions. We only have like a minute and a half left. For our
Well, the suggestions, I think Anna already pointed them out, which, of course, would be if you're really serious about wanting to work, all right, do those things. Do come prepared. Do come dressed for success, so to speak. And if you don't have all of it put together, you don't have a resume, you don't have the proper application or something, there will be tools there for you. And you can be interviewed privately by these employers. And that's important, and it goes across the board.
You're not just going to be standing out there, you know, with somebody right behind you listening to you, right?
No. And we will have computers available. We have copiers available. If you need to update your resume while you're there, we can help you out with that.
That's super. You know, we appreciate this. Okay, that's Monday. I'm sorry, that's
Tuesday.
At 9 a.m.
to 4 p.m. March 22nd.
At the Yuba Street at the Veterans Memorial Building. And I tell you what, do us a big favor. Call us Monday morning, say around 8:05, and we'll talk about this some more. Just give us a call.
A reminder
and we'll
on the air.
Remind everybody on
Terrific.
The air. But
sure.
This is super... I urge anybody that's looking for jobs, you know, go down there with the EDD and give yourself a real chance. So
we appreciate you.
Thank you very much. And again,
this is
empowering the people. This is the chance to be empowered.
Thank you.
Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. We're going to have a break for the news. When we come back, we're going to be talking business. We've got a number of other things we're going to be discussing today.
This is KCNR Shasta Redding. We'll be back after these messages.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of
Free Fire Radio. Well, you know,
it's the home of Free Fire Media and Carl and Linda Bott. Hey, it's 8:05 on March the 18th, the day after St. Paddy's Day. I can see our guest. We haven't introduced her yet, but she looks like she just barely made it through St. Paddy's Day. There's vestiges of green stuff on
her. Did you see the microphone just drop?
Yeah, when the microphone took a look at the green that's still on her, it just kind of dropped like that. So.
Okay, let's go to the weather here. It's currently 46 degrees, and I don't know why it's red. Maybe Bob, I don't think there's a weather alert, but there is. There are weather alerts. Well, let's, Bob, we're going to throw it to you. We need to tell our listeners what's going on, 8:06 in the morning.
A couple of things going on right now. Strong cold front, heavy rain off and on today. The ground is already saturated from previous storms. That combined with the current high wind warning, gusts going up to about 30, 40 miles per hour, could result in some trees going over, other things happening, flooding. A flood watch is in effect right now at this time, so if you're out and about, especially in the outlying areas, please be careful.
Thank you, Bob.
Okay. We're already starting with phone calls here, but let's tell you what. Let's introduce our guest, Jennifer Haynes from NorCal Presort. Good morning.
Good morning.
We thought we'd introduce you because now that the phones
are
ringing,
red.
You take second place now the phones.
Fine.
We love always having you on, Jennifer Haynes. You'll hear her voice, NorCal Presort. We're talking about direct mail. We're talking about the importance of it, how you can save money, which we're all trying to do these days, and bulk mail versus mailings.
But
so, what do we want to go to the phones right now?
But
okay.
Okay, but we also want to talk about is local businesses. And you are one of the ones that are spearheading a drive to spend money locally.
Absolutely.
And that's, you know, besides the fact of and you work for NorCal mm-hmm. Presort, which we use as our business. But the big thing is what we can do to, again, start pushing our local businesses and make them and have them survive.
That's right. If we don't take care of our own local businesses, we will not have local businesses. Take care of each other.
And there's different programs. There's actually different programs out there that can help the local businesses. Let's spend so much money here. You were talking about a program last time we were on that I thought was great.
Wasn't that 3050?
Yes, that's
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Well, tell us about 3050. Well, 3050 is spend, I think it's a little more than $17 at a store, like $17.36 to be exact, at three different stores every week. And if we do that, we will be supporting our own economy, and I believe it comes to something like $42 million if every local person with a job. That doesn't mean everybody. That just means if you have a job, spend your money locally. Doesn't mean you can't shop at the big stores. It just says shop at your local mom and pop, send $17. You know, it's barely lunch for two. You could even have lunch for one on that.
And we've talked about this before, but we think it's so important to keep driving it home about shop local, stay local. And that's when you think about the money, mm-hmm. $17 a month.
$17 a week.
A week, excuse me.
At three different locally owned and operated businesses.
You know, the one of the things you see people talking about in today's age of the computer, first of all, every business should have a website.
Yes.
And if you don't have a website, you're out there in your small business, you think, well, I can't afford that. Well, you can. In many cases, the software, believe it or not, is offered free.
Right.
In many places. And you just, you know, go down a web page.
Well, we also have many local business owners who design and will create your website for you. And you don't always have to have a 10-page go shopping on your website. You just need a presence so people can verify that you are a locally owned, real business.
And say they're looking at this. Happened, a lady called her. She said, you know, I was looking for a drum set. I was going to go online. She says, but, you know, you kept hammering at go local, so I went on the internet, and sure enough, there was a music store and it had drums. She said, I paid a comparable price, and I didn't have to worry about shipping, and if there's anything wrong, they were there, and they guaranteed everything.
That's right.
They helped me, you know, get it into the car. I mean, it's the whole thing, and that's the part, is going local. When you go online, the city, the county, and nobody gets any money
for
that.
None of that money comes here.
And we've been told, before we take this break, just a final thought on this particular subject matter, is that we have been told by local businesses here that if you find something online, bring in that quote, print it out, and bring in that quote to your local business. Chances are they can match it. Wouldn't you rather do that so that you can look at the eyes of your community?
Mm-hmm.
And say, I bought this, and it's a wonderful story anyway to tell. So
Right. Anyway. Well, and even in comparison, if you're talking about shopping online, even if you're going to the big box store or you're going to any other kind of not locally owned store, some of that money still stays here. It's, I think, $42 out of 100 instead of $64 out of 100 still stays here.
Right. If you have to go to the big box store, if you don't go to the local store. Right.
Because we need them, too.
Sure. Okay, we got to take a quick break here. This is Free Fire Radio with Carl and Abbott. Our guest, Jennifer Haynes, NorCal Peace Corps. But we're talking doing local business. That's our thrust here today, is supporting our local businesses. We're going to be talking a bit more on how to save money. And is it true Donald Trump really wants to run for president?
And we're taking your call still, 605-4567 here on KCNR.
Back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Friday, 8/14, March the 18th. Good morning.
I like that.
Yeah, that was me.
That's how I felt getting out of bed this morning.
That's right. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite.
Need it.
Located at 1345 Liberty Street. Doug Tooley is putting in Dish Satellite. Local guy, does a great job. His phone number is 244-1988. Been in the business since 1985. A veteran. of the 82nd Airborne. Yes, that does mean something to me. He's a veteran. He served his country, but he has been in the business since 1985, putting in dish satellite. That's B&T Satellite 244-1988. He guarantees his work.
Our guest this morning, and we're talking about shopping local, staying local, with a local business, which you are, NorCal Presort, Jennifer Haynes. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, I have to share this with you because, I'm not like an advocate of sodas. I think that we should try to be healthy. This, and I'm sure the reason I'm saying this is because we're always trying to think about our health, and I know you on that level, too.
Yeah.
Okay, so Diet Coke passes Pepsi.
Okay.
Diet Coke has topped rival Pepsi Cola for the first time to become the second most popular soft drink in the country behind Coca-Cola.
They trade off.
They do
quite often.
Off.
They go back and forth, and it goes kind of back to advertising. As soon as one thinks they're top dog, they just kind of stop everything, and that's the opportunity for the other one to say, oh, wait, I'm jumping in here now, riding on their shoulders, I'm going to take over.
Well, see, but this the kind of the tie-in is that Diet Coke, the original Diet Coke, people sometimes just want to get back to you can do Diet Coke Plus with one with cherry and zero. But a lot of times people just want to get back to something that is just the basic.
Familiar.
And so why are people saying that bulk mail is something from the past? Let's just bring it into right now.
Well, you hear a lot of things. I hear it with persons within our own industry of advertising where they're saying it just doesn't work, or it's obsolete, or it's too expensive. Well, if any of that were true, why would our industry be making over $48 billion a year? Obviously, it is working. But there are specific things that you have to do to make something work. You can't just toss it out there and say, okay, everybody's going to come crashing down my door. You have to focus. And one of the very first things that you have to know is, who is my customer? Not all of my customers. If your focus is on who is the primary person that would shop at my business, who is that? Is it male? Is it female? What kind of money do they make? But not just where they work. What do they do at home? What is their lifestyle? What is important to them? Those are all things of knowing the value of your customer. If you know about that person, then you talk specifically to that person. That's what you need to be focused on in any kind of advertising, not just in bulk mail. If you know who that person is, it will work for you.
Well, you know, I know that, and it's not just like a one-shot deal.
Well, either. No.
It's I believe that you've said, and that, you know, it takes like 2 to 3 times before, you know, people kind of go, oh, yeah.
Well, we're all the same. I don't know about at your house, but at my house, something will come to me, and I say, oh, yeah, I really want to do that. And I put it in the famous to-do stack. Well, my to-do stack sometimes is 10 inches tall before I get around to doing it. And that thing I really wanted to do on the bottom, I've completely forgotten about. But if you sent it to me again, I'll say, oh, yeah, I really need to do that. And by the third time you get my attention, I said, I really need to do that now.
Okay, well, you're talking about bulk mail and you're talking about mailings. What else, if you walk through the door NorCal Presort, what other services do you offer?
We offer, in the bulk mail division especially, from concept to completion. So if you came in and you said, I need to do something, but I'm not really sure what I need to do to drive some business, we can help you with that. If you come in the door and you say, I have this great idea, but I don't know how to put it together, we can help you do that. If you just come in and it's all finished and say, I really need you to help me figure out how to mail these things, then we'll go that direction. That's one division. So it covers the mailing and the creative, or even just the marketing concepts. Then there's also the first class division, where we can help you get discounted postage to mail your regular invoices or anything else. We've even mailed wedding invitations. It's whatever it is
you
need to do.
Why not? We're going to take a break. We're talking to Jennifer Haynes from NorCal Presort and talking about local businesses. Currently 46 degrees here, 8:19 in the morning. You're listening to KCNR 1460.
Yeah, welcome back. Yeah, Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. You know that last bump music we have in that grunting sound? You know, one of our chat rooms said, "Oh, that's the sound I make getting off the couch."
You know, somebody made a funny joke about the other day. Why is it that when people bend over and pick something up at a certain age, they go, "Ugh"?
I don't know, Bob. Why is that? Why do you make those noises, Bob? I don't make those
noises.
There are
other things that can happen, yes.
Okay. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Lumberjacks at 501 East Cypress. This is, you know, they have senior specials. You've got to be 55 or older. And two meals for $12. What a great deal they have at Lumberjacks. Grilled tilapia, pot roast dinner, roasted turkey dinner. There's many, many dinners here. And they're two for $12. You've got to be 55 or older, which, you know, Bob falls in this course. Jennifer and I don't. But, you know, and in fact, maybe Bob will take us to dinner there and being the senior guy. So, but that's Lumberjacks, 501 East Cypress. Great food, great service. It's a local restaurant, local people own it. This is great. Okay, Jennifer Haynes.
Yes?
Yes. Okay, you know, the part about having, you know, the direct mail and people in the industry going, oh, you know, it's going to go away. The thing is direct mail can be so specific.
And
you know,
personal.
It's not just, yeah, it's just not like shotgunned. You've got the software and the way to do it.
You are going to see people do that. You are going to receive things at home that you know have absolutely nothing to do with you, and you wonder, why are you sending this to me? Those people aren't doing it quite the correct way. The correct way is, like I said before, is to know who your customer is and talk to that person. But another thing that's really important that you don't see often in the direct mail world is to not rush the job. It's kind of like with everything else. If you rush it and you don't really pay attention to the specifics of what you're doing, it simply isn't going to work. You can't just run into something and have everything be just the way that you want it to be. It's how many things in life go right when you try to rush them. So whether you're a boss or a client, you can't expect a good job if you rush a project through at the last minute.
Yeah, that's true. You know, sometimes you have to rush, but you know, if you can take your time and plan it, I mean, why not do that?
That's right. That's right.
And you all will do the planning.
We'll do that for you, sure.
Do all that.
Right. That's why you come to talk to us, so we can take that responsibility off your shoulders, and we'll bear that, and we'll make everything work for you. But you still never want to relinquish complete control. You want to be in charge of what your company is doing and how you're talking to your public.
Of course. And, you know, the part where you also do design.
Yes.
And, you know, that's something you've done for us. You know, Linda's cards mm-hmm. you put together for On the Spot are just beautiful. I mean, everybody grabs one. It's like a little art piece.
Well, it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be represent you.
Well, good.
And, you know, direct mail, a lot of people think of direct mail has to always be this massive quantities of things. You really only have to have 200 pieces, and you can talk consistently to your people, and you can talk consistently to your regular customer, not just seeking new customer, but talk to the people who already know you and remind them that you're still out there. But one of the other things that I really want to talk about is something else that falls in direct mail is your complete communication in writing to your customers. It's very, very important that you take a moment and you think about how can I talk to people that already use my company. And it's kind of it could be thank you notes, it could be thinking of you notes, it could be happy new year notes. It's anything that lets your client know that you're thinking of them specifically. And to help point that out, I brought a little sample for you all. So I'm not going to mail this, I'm going to hand it to you. But just to let you know that I think of you specifically, one of the things that I do when I write my little notes to people is I do write the little note, but I want you to know I'm thinking of you. And this is something that Carl said to me the other day, and it's a note.
It's got a man on a cell phone, but he has a tie on.
Right.
Looking at the computer with a bunch of papers. Ever have one of those days when you're not sure whether you're in the zone or out of the box, under the gun, over the hump, or behind the curve?
You ever felt that way, Linda?
And I can do all those. Note. I can do all those in 5 minutes. So.
And dear Carl and Linda, every now and then we all need to hear that we are appreciated. So are you ready? You both are big time appreciated. Thanks for sharing your airtime. Oh, well, yeah.
But that's true. It's
just so much. An example.
And I wish we could, you know, and maybe we, I don't know, I think it'd be almost impossible, but wouldn't it be nice to be able to just go, hey, listeners, hey, chat group, thank you. And just send a little card.
But yeah, thank you for sharing your mornings with us.
Yeah,
and,
it is.
And yeah, there's so many things going on on the planet right now. I know you guys are talking about Cuba, we're talking about Japan. All these things are happening in the chat room where we're talking about what's going on here with businesses in the North State. And so what we try to focus on, we can go out there, we have to come in, we have to think about how we serve our community, what we're doing with the Course of Reading Christian Schools and the grand jury and Doug LaMalfa calling in. And we so appreciate Jennifer Haynes that you are so involved with the community, and NorCal Presort does so much to also help with the community.
Absolutely.
Not only your business, but you reach out as well.
We use you all, and we believe in what you do.
Thank you.
And you and Jerry Clark, who is just a great guy, another veteran,
mm-hmm.
owns a small business, you know. So I mean, another guy that's stepping out there too. So Jennifer, thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having us.
Have a glorious day.
See you later.
Yeah, so how was I think how much time we got there?
Minute and a half.
Okay, we got a minute and a half. Okay, what did you do last night, St. Patty's Day?
I didn't do anything.
Okay, so that green beer stains on the side of your face, that's just what?
That's just leftovers.
That was just leftovers.
I saw American Idol, but Motown style, and enjoyed the show. It was not a bad turnout. Tonight, Richard Simmons. Tomorrow will be, Saturday is going to be the chapel dedication at 11 a.m.
Right, we'll talk about that. We've still got some time to round up here. But Jennifer Haynes, NorCal Presort, again, thank you very, very much for being here.
You know, we appreciate that you're here, too.
Well
thank you.
Well, thanks. I mean, it's not. It's and you've got great advice for people on how to do business better. And if you've got a chance, what's the phone number down there?
221-6895.
221-6895. Give a call. And let them give you the help your business.
If you're confused, give me a call.
I'll call you tomorrow. I'm obviously confused. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, and KCNR 1460. We come back. It's open line. We're going to rock here. You know, some of the things said in the chat room, it's time to talk about them.
I'm to KCNR 1460. This is Carl and Linda Bot. It's Friday. Chat room is flying. We're taking your calls.
8:34 in the morning on March the 18th, the day after St. Patty's Day. One of us was out last night howling at the moon with her friends. I'm not going to say who it was.
No, there were other people howling at the moons. And, of course, in the chat room, first thing up this morning was, wow, there's a lot of mugshots in green costumes.
Hey, this portion of the show is... And speaking of mugshots, this portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. That's right. On Athens Avenue, man's last stronghold. Great haircuts, great prices, and it's a discount for veterans. That's right, discounts for veterans. A great time to go in there. Good conversation, a lot of good humor in Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue. Go down and visit them. DC, Tim, and the Man in Black do a lot for our community. And again, man's last stronghold. It says it right on the glass as you walk there on the windows. Okay. We had a phone call from somebody, and we were right in the middle of like the third group of people to come through, and we had to get that out because they had to leave at a certain time. We were stacked. We love, and that happens sometimes when, some things just pop up at the last second. We try to get people in here for 5 or 10 minutes to be able to talk about it. In this case, it was the job fair on Tuesday, which is, we thought was very important. So, you know, open line is what is what we enjoy. We love the chat room here. Don't misunderstand me. But we also like getting phone calls. And so this is a time, I think, on Friday that we're going to use to kind of catch up with what's going on in the world. And we want to, you know, and we can start in Japan with...
Wait, taking a call?
Well,
let's talk about Japan. Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about this. Let's talk about what's going on with their nuclear reactors. This 9.0 magnitude... of that earthquake has just overwhelmed Japan. Now, Japan, who has the third largest economy in the world, and is a very orderly society in that sense of, you know, they prepare for things. Their buildings are built for earthquakes. They know they're in earthquake areas. But even that did not help. Even that did not help with a 9.0 earthquake and then the tsunami that followed. So now we have a nuclear reactor there that's emitting radiation. Now, how much? That's, you know, enough so that people within 50 miles are told to move, or 12 miles are told to move, 50 miles told to stay inside, button up their houses. The Japanese are doing as well as they can, but they're slightly overwhelmed with everything. I understand that they're getting their pouring sand and pouring cement and dirt onto the reactor, into the reactor that's exposed, the reactor rods, to cool them down. Now, there is a plume of radiation that's working its way through the jet stream to our country. In fact, it should hit Southern California today, from what I've read. We have been assured by, from the president on down, is that this radiation is minor and will cause no harmful effects. Well, let's go to the phones. John, is that what you think, or you got something else?
Good morning, Carl. Of course it's not what I think. Good morning, Linda.
Do you think we're going to have, like next year there'll be strange-looking people being born, or what?
Well, you know, I don't think, unfortunately, we have any real detailed experience on knowing what to expect from this. This isn't like the Chernobyl situation. It's really pretty unique, but, you know, it more importantly is it is a call to action for our country to pay attention, pardon me, to our nuclear power plants. And I'm not talking anything about shutting them down or not building them or anything, because nuclear power is a really important resource for us and a way to move forward with power at a lesser cost to the public, which is going to happen as the population grows and as things get tighter. But when I hear the engineer at the San Onofre nuclear power plant down on the coast by Los Angeles saying that they have upgraded the building since 1970 and that they are set to withstand a 7.0 earthquake, I question, you know, what the thinking is here. He was saying it like it was a done deal, and if they think that upgrading to the ability to withstand a 7.0 Richter scale rated earthquake is going to be sufficient, I think that they're putting us in line for some major disasters. And this is one of the higher rated reactors that we have in the country.
And
where do we go from here?
The San Onofre plant, by the way, is on in between San Clemente and Oceanside. It's right there on Camp Pendleton,
right?
And it's right on the ocean, and it's on the bluffs there of the ocean. So, and it seems like if there was ever a huge seismic activity around there, it wouldn't take much to kind of make it bend over a little bit. My concerns are that people will look at this, and it was a 9.0 earthquake, and then say, oh, my God, nuclear energy is not safe. And without looking at places where the plants are at, all the things that have changed since they built the plants, including these ones in Japan who are older design plants, and completely, you know, shy away from the idea of nuclear energy.
Which is not the answer or the solution to the situation. But placement is important and hasn't really been, I'm sure it's been considered, but it hasn't been given the necessary safety precautions it should have. There seem to be like a series of reactors that have been put practically in fault lines. And I don't understand this concept, except perhaps it was cheap land. But I know the San Onofre is not on cheap land. That's oceanfront land in one of the more expensive areas around.
That's got a great view. I don't know if you want to have your house, you know, built next to it. Anyway, hey, John, we got to go take a break here.
Have a great day.
Hey, thanks for your phone call.
Bye, guys.
Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Let's come back. Let's talk about Libya. I said we were going to do that yesterday. We're going to talk a little bit about that in no-fly zones. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media, and Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, 8:45 in the morning of March the 18th. 47 degrees, and it's raining out there.
Well, this story is brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards this Saturday night. Chris Lauer. Now, last night on my show, On the Spot with Linda Bott, I had him open the show. We played tracks off of a new CD that he's putting together. This guy is a really good singer-songwriter. He used to play with the Shasta Band. He broke out on his own. He was in the Oregon. He's been living on the Oregon coast, and he's just moved back. And I'm really excited that he's going to be in the music lineup at Four Anselmo. So tomorrow night, I know there's a stack of stuff going on, but why not head out to Anselmo's, make reservations, hear Chris Lauer, enjoy the ambiance. We'll be out there. The reservation number, 474-5546. Come and check out Chris Lauer and Anselmo's Great Food from 6 to 9 p.m.
Okay, we're going to be talking about Libya. Okay, Libya was, pounding the rebels. You know, I was writing a blog for this. Well, I am against the United States unilaterally imposing a no-fly zone. I think it's the biggest mistake we could possibly get into. While I was in the middle of writing it, the UN Security Council voted finally to say, okay, we're going to do a no-fly zone, and the number of nations abstained from it. Well, a no-fly zone, my friends, is more than just a no-fly zone. It means that nobody flies over the country, okay, and it's patrolled by, in this case, it would be the UN. But it also means that there could be attacks, and there will probably be attacks on air defense systems because as they're flying over, you know, if an air defense system lights them up and hits them with radars, they'll shoot something at it. So now you've got attacks. Now it's air-to-ground attacks. Nothing's been said about going into Libya in the ground. Well, from what I understand, President Obama, which, and by the way, President Obama was right for us not to get into this, to arbitrarily for us to get into this no-fly zone, because believe it or not, we still have two wars going on. It's costing us lives. It's costing us billions of dollars a month. And then to pick another fight in the Middle East is just not real smart. So, people were castigating him. Oh, you need this, you need this. No, we don't. We don't need another fight on our hands. We're already stretched thin. And then, let's just introduce another, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week operation, far from our boundaries here. So the UN wants to lead it. Fine. Let the UN get in. Let's cheer from the sidelines. We've got enough on our plate. Then Gaddafi goes, oh, ceasefire. So I'm going to ceasefire. He's got the rebels pinned back in position. So he says, okay, we're ceasing fire here. We're just going to hold our positions. We'll start negotiations. Now, what's this do? Okay, so you can say you're going to have a no-fly zone, but he's not flying. The other thing about a no-fly zone is that it doesn't keep his armor, artillery, and troops, and in this case, his mercenaries. I don't know how many of his forces are mercenaries as opposed to his own troops. From still moving forward, eventually you're going to have to attack them. But he has called for a ceasefire. I believe he's going to be consolidating what he's got. He's got the rebels he's hammered the rebels, got them back into positions far from where they were before. The other question is we need to ask ourselves is who are we dealing with on the rebel side? Who are these guys? I mean, Gaddafi, we know, is a thug, a murderer. He sneers at human rights. Probably, came in, qualified to run a drug cartel, yet he runs a nation here. But we, as the United States, don't need to get into another fight there. I don't think it's the time. It's not worth the effort. And if this is something the world wants, the United Nations, let them do it. We want to refuel their planes? Fine. Refuel their planes. That's it. Just a thought. We've got to take a break here.
Coming up on the other end, I'm going to read a public announcement that just came in an email about public watersheds and meetings. You guys don't want to go anywhere. You want to hear what's up right after these messages.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl Lindabot, 852 in the morning, our last segment here. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Great place to go to for coffee. Been around here for 35, 40 years. They have the finest selection of tobacco accessories and a finest walk-in cigar humidor that you're going to find. And again, Espresso Joe's, that provides coffee at great prices the way you want it. Joe and Shelley have done a lot to support our community and the veterans. So, Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. I never get tired of talking about them. They are the real deal.
We announced before we took a break about PSAs that come in and email announcements. Well, the Stewardship Council announces first of six public information meetings for select PG&E-owned watershed lands. What's this about? The Pacific Forest and Watershed Lands Stewardship Council is pleased to announce its first of six upcoming public information meetings for, again, select PG&E-owned watershed lands. The purpose of the public information meetings is to update participants on the Stewardship Council's land conservation program and to solicit input on the future stewardship of these watershed lands. So what you want to do, all interested members of the public area are invited to attend and participate. For more information, you can go to stewardshipcouncil.org, land conservation. And let me tell you when the meeting is. March 24th from 3 to 6 p.m. That's March 24th, Millville Grange. That's in Palo Cedro. They're going to be talking about Battle Creek, Shasta, Tehama Counties, Burney Gardens, Cow Creek, Iron Canyon, Clark, Lake McLeod, Pitt River, and the Tunnel Reservoir. These are some of the items that are going to be discussed. The first meeting concerns the following areas that I just discussed. So for more information, again, go to www.stewardshipcouncil.org/land conservation round. To Hotmail.
Okay. You know, I just love reading things in the paper that are just so wrong. So wrong. Utah becomes the first in the United States to designate an official state gun. That I don't find wrong. Utah has become the first U.S. state to name an official firearm, placing an automatic pistol on a list of designated symbols right along with the honeybee and the cutthroat trout. The Governor Herbert signed a bill into law this week designating the Browning Model 1911 automatic pistol as the official state firearm. Wrong. See, this person, James Nelson, is an idiot. He doesn't know the difference between a semi-automatic weapon and an automatic weapon. Here's the difference. A semi-automatic weapon, you have to pull the trigger each time. Each time you pull the trigger, a round is fired, the bolt goes back, the slide goes back, it ejects the spent cartridge case, comes back into battery, and it takes the next round in and loads it. You have to pull the trigger again for it to fire. Semi-automatic. Automatic means you pull the trigger, and once it starts firing, it's rock and roll time. It just keeps firing as long as your finger's on the trigger. There's the difference. The 1911, which, by the way, was designated, its 100th year anniversary also, was designated the official firearm for the military back in that time frame. They used it in the battles in the Philippines. It was adopted by the U.S. Army in March 1911, so it is 100 years old, the centennial, for the 1911. Now, and that's what it's called. Model 1911. John Browning is the one who designed the weapon. It's been used, like I said, in World War. It was in the Philippines, World War One, when they were chasing down Pancho Villa. And that there's nothing wrong with designating a firearm as an official state weapon. It was invented there. He was born in Ogden, Utah, and he lived there till 1926. Anyway. They also were looking at the Colt revolver. But here's the thing. People talk about we've got to ban automatic pistols. There's, you know, very, very few automatic pistols. They're all semi-automatic. Just thought I'd bring that out, and another thing that gets people with the wrong impression. What's happening this weekend?
Closing thoughts here. My gosh, we got 3 minutes left here on Friday. Okay, tonight I'm going to be taking a gang. We're going to go to Russell Simmons, and that should be fun. And then Saturday, of course, we wanted it. Okay, the big deal is
I'm not one of
those. Is tomorrow is the chapel dedication. Please come out. Please come out Saturday at 11 o'clock, rain or shine. Just be there.
We're going to be there.
This is something that has definitely our citizens of the North State, along with Maurice Johannesson, just said, boom, we're doing it. We're not going to go through all these tubes and corners and red tape. We're going to make this happen. And you know it happened in a year.
It did, and we'd like to thank also Mary Ann, because she was right in there, right beside him in that. And then we've also had the Sundial Film Festival going. It starts at 10 in the morning, but it has two separate showings, 10 and another one at 7 p.m., I believe. Another something else to happen. You know, and then tonight, like you said, you're heading out to see Richard Simmons.
Yes, I said Russell. I meant Richard Simmons. And then then tomorrow night as well is Rick Lauer playing out at Ensemble Vineyards. There's so many things going on. A Bench in the Sun at Riverfront Playhouse. Bob Kerlock was on last night. We've got great rave reviews. Some Gator was in and said that he loved the show. Happy Days is going on. So if theater is your niche and that's what you want to do, or if you want film, the films, all local, 1 minute, 5 minute, it's the Sundial Film Festival, which is going to be incredible. If you're going to go out Saturday night, you want to do a double thing, which what we're going to do. What else, Carl?
Well,
I said Russell, didn't I? Richard Simmons.
There's a lot going on. And next week we're going to have a variety of guests coming in here talking about everything from ducks to...
And Bob, thank you for a great week. Bob Belongi, and your show this weekend, Boomer Tech.
Actually, because we will be out videoing the dedication of the Memorial Chapel, we will be pre-recorded, but we have a whole list of topics from impacts of social media on paranoia on down.
Okay, and we'll be starting out with my outdoor buddy. We're going to be going into Kurt Largent, Dr. Trudy Pratt, Nancy Sutton Pierce. Let's sell it. But yep. Then and Dave, we've got Psych Talk with Katie Cundy and Ryan Frost, and then, of course, Bob's show, and then into Front Lines of Freedom, and then Armed America on Sunday. We're talking We the People, Wake Up Call, Movie Talk, Bridal Talk. We've got a huge weekend of local programming. Check it out. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
You're listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.